Hello, and welcome to another episode of For the Love of Sports. My name is Michael Raziel. This is the show where we get to talk about sports, we get to talk about business, and we get to talk about everything in between. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, you know exactly what to do. Like and subscribe on YouTube, five-star review on Spotify, and over on Apple Podcasts, give me a five-star review and say something really nice about me and my incredible guest today. I have Dr. James Barnes. He's an associate extension professor at Mississippi State University, veteran youth basketball coach of over 20 years, and the head of the Bricks Two Clicks Marketing Podcast. Doc, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Michael. Great. How are you? Good to be on here.
Great day to be alive. Excited to have you on here, Dr. James Barnes. I always love having doctors on. It's always fun. I call all my doctors Doc, so I hope that's cool with you, James. But no, excited to chat about marketing, about business, about sports, the whole nine yards. But first question I have for everybody on the For the Love of Sports podcast is, why do you love sports so much?
Growing up, it was just it was a great outlet for me as a kid just to play basketball. And we played baseball and basketball year round. Our school was very small, so we played both just constant, you know, year round. So I loved it from as a kid. And then it gave me a great opportunity when I had kids to connect with them in a different way in a sport. And then it gave them a way to get to know other people and work with other people because they're all a part of a team. And it just, I think in general, is a teacher of life. I think you're going to face adversity. What do you do? You know, you're going to face prosperity. What do you do? There's all sorts of lessons I think we learn from the game of basketball.
Basketball, baseball, football, you can kind of insert whatever you'd like in there. Cricket, I'm sure it's the same thing.
That's
never
right.
Played it, but I'm sure it's the same thing. But
sports
no,
in general, that's right.
Exactly. Sports in general, they are a great analogy. Is that the correct word? You're the doctor, not me. I'm going to go with a great analogy to life, right? Because you, as you said, you have all these, you have the ups, you have the downs. You have the good times, the bad times, you have hardships, you have, you know, unfortunate tragedy, right? There's so many things that go in there, and all of it can be condensed into a 2-hour basketball game, right? And that's, you know, that's life itself. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. You know, sports, I think we go through all phases of life that matches sports. So I think it's a great analogy, and it's certainly one that I love sports, and I love being around kids that are playing sports. So it's just been a mainstay for me all my life.
Yeah, as I said in the intro there, a 20-year vet of youth basketball. Let me just say congratulations on the longevity, because I went to a first-grade classroom once. Now, I don't know exactly the age that you've been coaching, but I've dealt with school kids before, and after about 30 minutes, I was ready to leave. So let me just say thank you from all of us in the community,
well,
James. Thank you.
You know, I tell you what, over the years, I think the most, I would say, the least thankful job in the world is probably the referees at those basketball games, because everyone is saying something probably negative to them about a call or something. And, you know, most of them I've encountered have always been very, very professional and done a great job. But yeah, 20 years, I look back and I blinked and it was 20 years, Michael. You know, my kids started from the age of 5, 6 years of age, and they're still playing basketball to this day. We were in Oklahoma City just a couple weeks ago, and Little Rock as well, doing travel basketball. So it's still something that we do each and every day.
That's awesome. And so have you coached your kids throughout their entire lives, or have you been just coaching, you know, a community team, you know, assuming your kids eventually went to play, as you said, at AAU, high school basketball, that type of level?
Yeah, so most of the time it was a community league of some sort that, you know, my son or sons were on that same team, and I would coach them. And, you know, it started off, you know, it was easy to align practices when you have, you know, one, maybe two, but then later there were three, and then it just grew from there. And I was like, wow, you know, I've got a lot of practices to get in. I got three age groups. And so I was coaching a lot of basketball at the time, just trying to juggle all the practices and stuff. And so it was a great joy, still is for me, but there comes an age somewhere around, I think the age 13 or 14, that I always try to just step back. And I believe that it's a time where, you know, they need to take direction from somebody else who's coaching. You know, it starts to give them a different appreciation for who you are as a coach too. But it's also, I think, necessary to help them mature and just learn to be more social with other people directing that. And so I've always found that that's worked out extremely well. And I try not to coach them after that, not unless there's, you know, if a coach doesn't show up on one of our travel ball games or some emergency event, I might step in. But even then, I would have reservations because it's just not my place anymore. I just coach from the sideline. I speak to them about things, the mindset, you know, how to put the work in, what they can do differently. But I rarely get on the court after about 13, 14 years of age with them.
After that, you can be one of the parent coaches that we always love to hear about, right? And you probably like that, but
I have an appreciation for sitting on the sideline after being over on the bench for so long. It's like, you know, I want to say something, but I know that the coach has something in mind that I don't, and there's no reason. So just I keep most of it to myself, or I might tell my wife who's sitting close to me, I really wish we'd do this or not. But, you know, we've been blessed over the years to have, you know, phenomenal coaches to be a part of their lives. So no regrets on, you know, turning the reins over to those coaches.
No, I'm sure. And it's always a funny joke, right? If anyone out there, if you don't have a kid or never went to a baseball game or a basketball game, just go sit in the stands and just hear all the things, how incredibly smart these parents are, right? They should be doing this, that, and the third. It's like, well, what do you think? Like, the coach, I think the guy knows what he's doing at this point. The guy or the lady knows what they're doing at this point. Like, come on. What, like, calm down, guys. It's youth basketball. Like, I know we're all intense, but it's youth basketball, right?
We're all going to live through this. It's going exactly. to be okay. When we end the game, no matter who wins, we're all going to walk out of here. We're going to go back to our lives. It's going to be fine. You know, Michael, years ago, I was really blessed to be around a guy who had coached baseball, youth baseball, for about 30 years. And my kids were on his team, and so he had a parent meeting at his house, and his name is Ralph, and his wife's name is Mary. And so Mary baked cookies at every practice for these guys at her house. They had practice at her house. It was a field in the back. And so Ralph comes in. He says, I want to talk to you guys. You know, the kids are out there just throwing the ball around. You know, I just want to talk to the parents. I'm like, this is different. You know, I like this. And so we all sat down in the living room. It's a very warm and cozy. And of course, you know, Mary has brought all of us cookies as well. Michael, you can't, what can you not like about all that? I'm thinking this summer, this is going to be great. And so I did coach baseball. So it was nice for me to step back and let somebody else at that age do it. And I remember what he said. And he said, look, he said, your job is to be positive and encourage your kids, especially when they fail, because baseball, as you know, is a failure sport. He said, all I need you to do is cheer them on. He said, because this year I'm the coach. And he just left it like that. It was so well done. And so my kids were a part of his teams for the next 3 or 4 years. And he said, look, if you don't like how I coach this year, no problem. He said, next year you can sign up and you can coach your son. And that's not a problem. But he just had a great tact about it. And said, you know, basically, let go. Let me do my job. You go to the stands and enjoy the game and just encourage your kids. And that lesson stuck with me, you know, as I coached more and more basketball and baseball, too. So he was a great, great mentor.
Yeah, that sounds, especially, you know, him doing it for so long, you having multiple kids being coached by his team. I think that's awesome. And you bring it up, and this was going to be my next question, actually. Like, what are some of the things that you learn over 20 years of coaching basketball to children? Like, what are some of the things that you learn about yourself, about life? Maybe not specifically about the kids, but kind of the generalities around what it's like doing something for so long and having that consistency and that discipline to do it year in and year out.
Well, everybody on the team matters. I've seen it over the years where you may have one or two star players, right? And you focus things around them. Maybe there's some offense that you set up for them. But the development and whether you win at the end of the season or not usually comes down to what do the role players do? What do their roles look like? Have you been teaching them and working with them as much, maybe more, to help them be better at what they do? And I've always been able to get a lot out of those other kids and get them to buy into you matter. I mean, we can't win this without you. Everybody's contribution counts. And I think that's one of the things that stuck with me over the years. And so I tell my kids to this day, you know, there may be a player on the team that's better than you, but you matter. You've got to do these, you know, these three things a coach needs you to do. It all works together as a system. And if you unplug one of their voices or you take away that contribution, I feel like the, you know, kids will give up. They just won't. you know, they won't want to contribute and dive on the floor for the loose ball. But when they know their coach believes in them and their coach is expecting and calling it out of them, I believe they give a lot more than if you're negative or discouraging in any kind of a way. And even when they make mistakes, you still encourage them past it. And so I think for me, just everybody on the team matters. And I think that lesson we can apply to life everywhere.
And that's exactly what we're going to do. I'm going to use my SAT word analogy from before and then try and make the analogy of what's it like coaching kids and helping small businesses and teaching small businesses? Because I feel like it's a small team. It's people that are working hard because they want to, not because they have to, but you know, this is their choice to own this business. They're not working in corporate America. What are some of the analogies that you can put together between coaching youth basketball for so many years and helping coach businesses essentially for so many years as well?
Well, just like the team, you know, everybody matters on the team. Every aspect of the business is important. You shouldn't overlook one aspect of it just because you're good at doing one other aspect. In the business, you may be great at content creation. You may be great at going live on social media, Instagram, whatever, but you may not be very good at financial management. So you have to make sure you develop that part of you or staff it out somehow. Make sure you've, you know, hired someone to be on your team to do that. Marketing in general or running a business is a team sport anyway. But so many business owners go it alone. And I think, you know, they really kind of cap the growth that they could experience if they let go of some things that they have a hold of and just say, look, I'm not the best at doing this. I'm going to have someone else do this for me. And then I can focus on what I do the best. And I think that's exactly what it is, you know, between teams and then businesses. I think that one you can take to the bank.
It's so difficult for business owners to do that, though, right? You know, you came in, you know, you're born a lot, you're born alone, you die alone, right? That kind of thing, where it all comes down to them at the end of the day, no matter what. This is their business. If they start delegating, maybe that person doesn't do it as good as them, or you know, they're always going to kind of be micromanaging in some situations. How do you actually help business owners or people in these types of situations to be like, no, you have to let go? The only reason or the only way for your business to actually grow is for you to step back in certain situations and focus your time and energy where it's actually, you know, best utilized.
Yeah, I think you have to do a couple of things. I think you have to look at the financials. I think you have to see where are you having trouble. And a lot of times when we work with companies and they're doing really, really well, this is a conversation that doesn't go as far. Because, you know, things are great. I shouldn't have to worry about staffing out something. We're making money. It's all great. That's one of the opportune times to make a change because you could take on a slight disruption and actually do better and be more efficient. But a lot of companies are hesitant to do that. But the flip side of that is very different. If you're struggling with cash flow, if you're struggling to have a new product offering that you're thinking about doing, but you don't know how to do it, there's going to be a lot of losses that they're feeling. That tends to motivate business owners to make a decision of change. And it's just like us, you know, when we face some kind of a loss, we try to, you know, avoid it somehow. And, you know, this is the same thing for a business owner who's struggling. You know, how do I get out of this circumstance? What do I do? Well, okay, now it's a little easier to talk and have that conversation.
Usually.
But as long as they're doing extremely well, of course, you know, build on that. But when things aren't so great, then you have to look at everything that's going on and distractions. That can be one of the things that, you know, they get distracted on something in the business and they get really focused on it. And it could be just managing one employee. It could be a lot of things. And that distraction tends to pull their time away from what they're really, really good at and how they actually started the business to begin with.
That's kind of the rub when it comes to small businesses, right? Like, you love making furniture. All right, well, if you're running a furniture business, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be making the furniture anymore, right? Like, that's not quite how it works. Yeah, maybe you still get, you know, you get your fix in, but you're most likely managing all the people that are doing the thing that you fell in love with. So that's kind of one of the frustrating things about when you start and own a business, right? And I think another thing that you said, you know, applying pressure to the wound usually works a little better than if everything's going well. It's very easy to be like, everything's going well, you should hire somebody so that you can double, triple, quadruple down. It's a lot easier when it's like, we have a problem, and then you start applying pressure to it, and you're like, okay, the way to alleviate that pressure is to actually bring somebody in who understands a little bit more about the thing that you're not great at.
Yeah, and it's you know, most, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners have great vision, right? They saw an opportunity in the marketplace that nobody else saw, or they saw an opportunity in the marketplace that a lot of people were doing, but they could do it a lot better. And it's that vision that they build on, and they took some of their talent and skill and started in that on that path. But it inherently happens that you bump into things that you're not going to be the best at. And that's okay, because you can have a team to help you. And provided you grow your cash flow and you're really wise with that money, you have an opportunity to actually build a team around you that's really good at doing all those things. I mean, that gives you an opportunity to scale. And I think without that, you just stay in the same cycle. You know, there's a little bit of bleeding, but not a lot of bleeding, right? There's a little bit of a wound, but it's not really big. But if you don't deal with it, it's going to be. And so, yeah, when we have those conversations, people are much more open to talk about change, especially marketing or anything else that might grow sales.
Yes. An infected wound is usually, doesn't matter how big the wound, that's usually the one that gets you, unfortunately. So yeah, let's suture that up as quickly as possible. So Doc, I want to take a step back for a second. So you are an associate extension professor at Mississippi State University. So essentially, it sounds like you go in, you help businesses are in your classroom, essentially. I'll let you explain it, but I kind of just want to give a little background. And you help them essentially consult from there on what they're doing, how they're doing. So I guess explain a little bit about what you do and ultimately, how do you even fall into this line of work?
Yeah, that's that's a long story, but I'll make it in 2 minutes. How about that?
Yeah, we got time.
So, you know, the classroom is, you know, the real world for me. I work with business owners. We do all kinds of marketing assessments, and it's much like I said, you know, a company can be struggling with something. They can contact me here at the university. We can look over their marketing, see what's going on. Not just the marketing, but also just the business in general. We have other people at the university that focus on financial management or other things that may help them. And so we really try to work as a team to try to help that company. And that's what I've done for many, many years, working in that classroom, if you will. And I certainly teach here at the university too. I teach a course on marketing. One's to the business school, one's coming up this summer we're offering in our department here. So I do that part too, but I really... What really gets me, what really makes me excited is to be able to work with a company and see them do better. Like that's, for me, that's the payoff. That's why I do what I do. I love being able to help get them to the next place, whatever that may be. It could be in their marketing. It could be a change in what they offer as a product, anything. And so for me, that's the gratification I get. And, you know, I got into this. My training was in marketing and economics. When I went to college, and then my first job out of college was working with businesses in the field. And I taught at the university. At the time, I was at Oklahoma State. And so since then, it just kind of was on the same trajectory. I've always enjoyed working with business owners. And it's just gratifying to see them do extremely well and be a part of that. And not everyone does. You know, sometimes businesses don't do as well, and you're trying your best to get to them. But ultimately, they have to make the changes and they have to make the investments and change strategy and all that. But man, when you see it work, it makes everything worth it. It's gratifying.
And so I know I've had business coaches in the past, and you know, I don't want to make the one-to-one analogy, but again, going back to kind of the sports aspect a little bit, how much is it you saying, do this, it will work, versus kind of laying out all the facts and just trying to shepherd them to the correct answer? And hey, maybe they don't get there, so you kind of push them in that direction. But like, how much is it like kind of a combination of, you know, not just explicitly telling them what to do, but kind of just trying to get them there on their own so they believe it's their idea, so they're a little more excited about it?
Yeah, it's you definitely want the buy-in. I think the easiest way to get that is to show, you know, what they're doing might not be optimal. This might be costing you some sales. Let me show you why. Let me show you an example of a website that does a great job of its messaging. And maybe there's a PDF they download, so they're actually building their email list. You know, you show them what others are doing at work, and they tend to come back and go, okay, let's go in that direction. I need to do that too. And so I think that's kind of what you said, shepherding. I think that's a great term. It's a little shepherding and a little coaching, right? The shepherding is, yes, here's the plan. I think this will be good. And then the coaching is, don't turn left. Don't go that way. Let's keep going this way. And, you know, that I think it is between shepherding and coaching, if you can. Borrowing your term there, but I think it's a good one.
Thanks. I came up with that run right off the top, so I guess I'm getting pretty good at this thing. And so specifically, you are in the marketing area of business, as you kind of stated before. So I'm curious, online marketing, so I live and breathe and have been in the online marketing space for a while now. It's a very interesting space. It's always changing. Everyone's always complaining about a new algorithm, or there's now a new social media that pops up every once every few years. So what is it, you know, I don't want to say, you know, anything bad here, Doc, but you're a little older than me. I hope that's okay to say out loud. Online marketing wasn't really the mainstay, if I may, you know, kind of when you were in college potentially, or when you were kind of coming up. It's been, you know, obviously extrapolated and expanded significantly over the last 10 years. We could say probably the last 23-ish, right? Let's use the dot-com bubble in there. What was it about the online space, or really just marketing in general, that got you very excited to want to learn about it, and not only learn about it, you know, kind of tell others the good word of online marketing?
That goes back to where I grew up. I grew up in Oklahoma. I grew up on a farm. So we raised cattle, livestock, and that kind of thing. So I always saw my parents, my father primarily, you know, doing marketing to move the cattle in different ways. And then it became entrepreneurial with me. We had an opportunity that I could invest funds and get cattle of my own in high school. And so that's kind of where I got into it. And I really liked it. I was like, you know, this is really cool. You can make money doing this. And so as a 16, 17 year old, that was my experience with it. And just since then, you know, you're right. I'm a little bit older, Michael. You know, I remember when I worked at LSU for a while, and we were teaching businesses how to actually go online. Like, that's where it was. And so the thing was blogging. That was what is like a blog. What is a blog, right? So then there were vlogs, and then of course after that it just exploded. But it was, people struggled to understand the benefits of actually being online. And so that's where part of the education started for me. And then I've always been curious about each and everything that happens in marketing. So I just stayed in that whole space, you know, all the way through. So, you know, learning about sales funnels and different things like that now just is just a natural extension for my curiosity way back then, even as a kid.
I'm sure if only you had some Google PPC budget back then to try and sell those cattle, man, you guys would have crushed it. Those would have been too good.
To man, I look back and I just go, how in the world did that ever even happen? But so, you know, most of the years they went by, we made a profit, and so the farm still stands today. So
that's all we're worried about, just survive in advance, as Jimmy D said, just survive in advance. So with online marketing comes a lot of good things, a lot of bad things. That's just kind of how the internet works. It's a terrible place, it's the best place and the worst place all at the exact same time. Sure. One of the nice things about it that's really resonated with people is really community building. And so again, I kind of want to go back to your time as a basketball coach and what you're doing, well, not back to your time, but compare and contrast, you know, your time as a basketball coach, as well as helping businesses through online marketing. Community has seemed to resonate the most with people. If you can build a loyal fan base, if you can build a community of, and this isn't a random number, but about 50,000 people, if you're an influencer, you can monetize that number without acting, you know, overtly over the top and just saying, buy all my shit constantly. You know, if you have 50,000 people that are reading your blogs or watching your videos or doing it, you can, there's a real opportunity for you to make money at that point. But 50,000 is a very, very big number when you kind of break it down. Small in terms of the globe, big in terms of trying to find those people, because there's so much attention from everybody else that is trying to do the exact same thing. Right. What is it about community building that you think allows businesses, coaches, just literal community leaders? What is it about community that just people want to, why do we want to be a part of a community so bad?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, if you're a business owner, first of all, you can learn from somebody else who's made the mistakes ahead of you. There is a sharing. If you can get into a community or a coaching group, there's lots of different, all kinds of communities you can be a part of. But I think people that have gone ahead of you, you can learn a lot from that, you know, and in some of the coaching that I do here, you know, I will tell business owners who are starting off launching a brand, I'll say, oh, do you know what other brands are out there you're going to be competing against? You should be looking at what kind of content did they put out? How do they do what they do? Learn from people that are ahead of you before you spend your time, effort, and money and, you know, make the best use of it you can. So do the learning up front. So I think being a part of a group advances you. It speeds up your learning. You develop other skills. It gives you access to resources you may not have even known. Maybe you're in a Facebook group. I'm just going to make it really, really super, super simple. Maybe you're in a local Facebook group and a business owner posts something and you learn from that and then you use it on your account and it works again. And you're like, okay, that's a great strategy. Right. So it's all part of that speeding the learning curve up, I think, and making the learning curve not so steep, especially when you're putting your hard earned money into the business. I think that's a really critical part of any community benefit. If you're a business owner.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. I think business owners learning from other business owners, standing on the shoulder of giants, right? Like, especially in so many industries, like, let's not recreate the wheel, guys. Like, they're doing it. It's working. We should try it. Put our own spin, put our flavor on it, right? Don't copy and paste. Right. Do it the way we would do it, but just do the exact same thing and then build on it from there. They did the research. They took the time, effort, the energy, the money, and it's working. We don't have to take the time, the effort, the energy, or the money. We could just do what they're doing in simply a different way.
Yeah, just basic things. Just like, you know, if you were going to do anything in your business and you wanted to look at somebody in your maybe your area, or maybe someone that's not even in your area, you have a friend, family member, it could be anyone, and if they have a similar business, or it could be very different. See what they do and see what works. I mean, we can learn, and the way that the platforms evolve, social media, websites, search. I mean, everything is changing so quickly that it benefits us to be a part of a group somehow and stay in that and just learn from one another as we go through the bumps and bruises together.
And so that's from a business owner standpoint, right? Being in it together. Now I'm kind of curious from the other side of that, right? As a business owner, you want to build a community because, as you said, search is always changing. All the algorithms are always changing. If you can get that loyal group of people, they will be the best marketing. Doc, you and I are both online marketers. You're going to lie to me and tell me that word of mouth marketing is not the best marketing that's ever existed and will always exist. I don't believe you, right? It's one of those things that is just how it works. You will believe your friend who says, no, use this babysitter, she's incredible, before you believe a Google ad, right? That's just how it works. So as a business owner, especially with like little things, right? Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, now Discord, right? A little bit younger crowd, but still works really well. Yep. How do you advise the businesses that you work with to at least just start thinking about community building, even if it's in like, again, going back to furniture or whatever, like how do you start to even in one-off and not weird, but different industries, get them to start at least thinking about, hey, if you can create a community, that is like, that's the number one thing you should be doing right now, or top five.
Yeah. So in thinking about building any kind of community, you know, what does everybody have in common? Well, they struggle with something. And if you're a business and you have a product or a service that solves that same problem, that's one of the easiest ways to build a community, is to focus on helping a group of people solve a problem. And if you get, 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, and you're really giving content away to them to help them solve, not maybe all the problem because you won't make any money later on, but some of it, you have to be in a place where you're giving a whole lot more than you're asking for in return. And I think when we see people doing that, we know they're going to sell us something, Michael. We do. We know it's coming. We know it's part of it. But really, that was a great cheat sheet, a great PDF we downloaded, a great free course, video series, whatever it was. You still want to be giving more, far more than you're asking for, from your community. And if you are, your brand will grow. Your people will talk about you, about how well you help people who are following you. Or they may say, something, to their friend about it. Like you said, word of mouth. Look, I follow this newsletter. I follow this whatever. Whatever that thing is that they're putting out is going to resonate with them if it's helping them solve some kind of a problem. And I think that's where you start. And I think you build on that. What other kinds of content can you create around that to help the community? And a lot of times it's just really understanding where the community would want to go if they solve the problem. What does their life look like if it gets better by solving this one particular problem? I think those are just basic economic thoughts about building any kind of a community is, focus on the benefits you're giving to the community more than asking from, some sale of a book or whatever else that you may be monetizing.
We'll ask for the sale for the book. No worries. That's coming. Link in the description to grab mine for free. Don't worry. I'm sure I'll sell you something after that. But
I set you up well for that, by the way.
Appreciate it, Doc. But I think the one thing that you said really importantly towards the end was, what if they, you know, they download this PDF, they fix that problem, what does their life look like, and how can we add value to that? I think that's something that's extremely overlooked. I think so many businesses are just saying, here's the PDF, like this, do this. If you can't do it, you know you can call us, right? Because we're willing to give you the information for free. So if we're willing to give it to you for free, we're probably really good at it ourselves, right? And I think that's how many businesses think about it, where it's that this is the step. Okay, we got here. I gave you the free information. You did it. That means you're indebted to me. Or I gave you the free information. You couldn't do it, so you called me to do it. I think it's really important, and I think it's awesome. If you don't mind kind of extrapolating and kind of building that thought out a little bit more, what does it look like after? How can we add value to the next piece, and then the next piece, and then the next piece? And then finally we'll say, okay, now you can come buy my book.
Well, you know, when we look at content and we think about some price point for what we're selling, could be a book, video course, doesn't matter. You know, if you have a low price point, you know, you can give away, you know, a few things, right, that are probably not going to cost you a lot. But there's a lot of benefit to someone who's downloading it for the first time. Someone struggling with, I mean, it could be any kind of a problem. It could be a health problem, right? It could be a company that, you know, sells something to improve your health, whatever. But, you know, them giving away content that helps you solve that problem a little bit. So you'd do two or three things maybe, and then later on you'd have the offer and there it is. But for really higher price products, right, we're going to have to do what you just said. We're going to have to be in the funnel for a while, giving them some kind of a content, some free newsletter. Maybe they follow us on LinkedIn only, you know, maybe that's the place, or Facebook only. We're going to have to continue to talk about the problem, because that's what gets people interested. You know, when you watch Netflix or you watch Amazon or anything else, you stream to a movie, the really good ones always start with a problem and they hook us. There's a plane that disappears, Michael, and it lands 5 years later. What in the world happens then, right? So if we are talking about a problem that people are going to have, you know, they're going to solve it a little bit, but you may have another offer where they can solve it even more, right? If it's a higher price point. So it kind of depends on what's being sold by the business and how much content it might actually take to really get people to be interested in buying from you. But I think in general, if you always go at it as, look, I'm going to create this content and it's going to help, and then I'm going to create this other kind of content and this is going to help, you know, depending on the size of the problem, I think you can create content forever like that. Now, if you solve a small problem, right, then you probably don't have to create as much content to get that, you know, monetization or revenue. But if it's a bigger problem, you've got enough, a size of a problem, you can create a lot of content with it.
I love it. That's awesome. And that's why you're the doctor, Doc. I appreciate that. That's a great explanation. So I do also want to talk about Bricks to Clicks. So you have the Bricks to Clicks podcast. You also have trademarked Bricks to Clicks. Going out on a limb, brick and mortar to clicks. That's kind of what I'm going to think. But I want to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. What exactly is Bricks to Clicks? And let's talk about the, I mean, you're on a podcast. We have to talk about your podcast too. I think that's like rule number one of podcasting.
Hey, man, I appreciate you mentioning that. You know, years ago, I mentioned to you, I worked at LSU and I started working with companies way back on the blog and everything. And that makes me sound really old, but it's not that long ago, actually. And, you know, in that process of doing that, you know, it was always working with brick and mortar companies trying to go online. They were just, how do we do this? What do we do? Then along comes Facebook, Twitter, you know, all the different ones that popped up. Okay, how do I do that? What do I do there? So it was always working with a lot of brick and mortar businesses going into the online space. And so that's where the name came from. You know, I had the idea way back then, and I used it when I was there. When I got here, I decided to make it sort of a permanent thing that we would do. And, you know, I've been here almost 11 years and we've been helping companies, not just brick and mortar companies now, but other kinds of companies who run consulting businesses. They run all kinds of different things that are just purely online now. And so it's the same, some of the same strategies apply. There's a lot of things at point of sale, if you're a brick and mortar, that are different, but you know, there's a lot of things, same principles. Building a community is the same, whether you have just a purely online business or you have brick and mortar and you're using the online. So that's kind of where it came from, and that's kind of how it evolved.
Very catchy. I love it. A good name always helps. It rhymes. Never hurt, right? So talk to me a little bit about the podcast a little bit. I know you have kind of an evolution in the podcast coming up, Bricks to Clicks Marketing Podcast. Make sure I'll put a link in the description for everyone because they want to go subscribe. They want to join that and learn a little bit more about marketing specifically. I think that's awesome. So talk to me a little bit about what it was, what it is, and what your plans for it to become.
Well, it was just another way to reach businesses in the field for me. It was another way to get information to them in a way that's most convenient. We do a lot of, at the time when we launched the podcast, we were doing a lot of face-to-face workshops. You know, well, COVID came along and changed everything. And so that went away for a year and a half, 2 years almost. And so we pivoted to something that was giving in, you know, information out there to the public. And podcast was just a natural way to do it. So I did a lot of research on, you know, how to do some of these things for podcasting. I said, you know, I'm going to do this. We're going to do this. And then, COVID hit. Of course, it disrupted everything. And so now the podcast is evolving to something where I'm going to have more interviews with business owners who are struggling with all kinds of things. And then we're going to try to help them get over that struggle on the show. And that's kind of what's coming up in 2023, later this year. That's kind of what we're going to do for season two. And we're going to focus on websites and building sales funnels and kind of that online marketing, what you'd expect, you know, a lot of those things we're going to do. I've interviewed about 5 businesses now, and we're getting ready to do the second 5 and then put that together as the next season.
I love it. I think it's such, first off, I just love asking people questions. So that's why I love having my show, I think. But like more importantly, right, it's an awesome networking tool. It's so much easier to reach out to someone and say, hey, can I interest you in showing your business to a bunch of people? Like, it's a very easy, it's free and just takes like 45 minutes. Yeah, I'd love to do that. That's great. So it's very easy for me to get guests when you kind of change the narrative a little bit in your head and kind of tell yourself that story and them that story. I think that's the important part. But really, if you're able to then explain to businesses, right, this is the free content you're putting out. You're showing real life businesses the problems that they have, how you would help them solve them. And right, and then the easy season 3 is the follow up with all these businesses and how they did. So you're welcome. Take that one doc, use it. But no, I think like showing people and giving that content, because there's other people out there with the exact same problem. Right. It was like in school, and I'm sure you've heard it, or raise your hand because someone else has the exact same question as you. They're just too afraid to raise their hand. Right. So it's having that same exact problem. And if you're able to help these businesses, you're then going to help all these other businesses. You're planting all these seeds in all these businesses. And when they get to a spot where it's just like, you know what, we have the money, we have the time, we want to see what the possibilities are. Let's call Dr. James Barnes. Let's see what he can help us out with.
Yeah. You know, it's right. I think you are planting seeds. And I told you I grew up on a farm. So when you say planting seeds, that's a great analogy for me. But you're planting seeds. You're showing them that, running your business, you don't have to do it alone. There are a lot of resources out here to help you. They're free. You got to know where to look a little bit, but there are tons of things you can learn to help you have a better business. And, it is about planting those seeds. And because, you know, like you said, you're in class, you know, no question is a bad question, right? Every question is valuable because somebody else inherently will face that same problem, and that you're going to help them learn and get past it very quickly. So, yeah. And that's the thing I enjoyed about just interviewing the 5 businesses so far, is just the richness of hearing their story, knowing the struggle that they've gone through, how COVID impacted them, and then what they did to sort of bounce back. And, you know, it's an education for me too, you know, so yes, we're planting seeds and we're helping, and here's how they solve that problem, but it's also educating me too. I'm learning from those businesses, which as a researcher and, you know, and a writer and things I do here, it's just the greatest lab in the world to be in that environment. So I thoroughly enjoy it.
I'm happy to hear it, Doc. I think that's awesome. And yeah, that's a great point. You get to learn along the way. So there's a potential you might run into that problem with a different client somewhere else down the road and say, hey, you know what? I remember how they did this. Let's try this out. Let's not recreate the wheel. So I love that. That's awesome for you. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. So everybody, I'll put again a link in the description to go subscribe to that. Check it out. Make sure to be on the lookout for season 2. Very excited for that. But Doc, this was awesome. I really appreciate your time. This has been absolutely fantastic. Where can we go to learn a little bit more about you, what you do? If people have questions, where can they reach out? Give us all the links. Give us all the socials, anything you want people to have.
Yeah, the best thing I can do is to point you to MasterYourMarketingCourse.com. That's our new marketing course that we've launched. The first class is starting in May. And, you know, we talked, Michael, about the value of being in a community. After you go through the course with me, it's going to take you 4 sessions, 2 hours per session. And after that, you're going to be in a community of people, business owners who are struggling with the same things you are. And so I'm going to be in that community. We're going to be on that thing together on the journey to help you grow your business. And so, yeah, please check that out. That's the best way I can help you at this point. Yeah.
I love it. That is fantastic. Well, thank you again. I'll make sure, again, all of that stuff is in the show notes for everyone. But, Doc, this was absolutely fantastic. Always love a little marketing chat mixed in with some youth basketball. Gets me up in the morning. But no, sincerely, this was great. I really appreciate it. Time is the only thing we don't get more of. So I really appreciate you giving us some of your time. I appreciate the audience for giving us a listen as well. But other than that, one more time, Dr. James Barnes, really appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Bye, everybody.